The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
The earth is the Lord's, and all that's therein.
That's the Durham Cathedral Choir with Psalm 24, the last psalm we hear in the season of Advent, asking that question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? It tells us about the King of Glory, and it has those famous words that have been brought forward to us in an Advent hymn, the gates being lifted up. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, that the King of Glory may come in. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Thursday afternoon, December the 15th, here on Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
The first thing you wanted to note here as we go to find Christ in this psalm, which this isn't heavy lifting, really, but as we do, is the placement of this particular psalm in the Psalter. Why is that important?
Well, what we want to see in the Psalms, again, we've talked about this language of kind of like a divine drama, that this is written for the one who is the true David, the one who will actually enact all of these events. And you'll see a progression of events that are taking place as you follow from Psalm 20, which ends on the note, O Yahweh, save the king, may he answer us when we call, and then to Psalm 21, in which it opens up by saying, O Yahweh, in your strength, the king rejoices. Now, these, of course, are Psalms of David, Christ being the true David. So you have these two Psalms right here, 20 and 21, about the king. Well, when Christ comes as king, of course, in Jerusalem, he is rejected. They say, we have no king but Caesar. And then they mock him, they put the crown of thorns upon him, and he hangs on the cross as the one who is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Well, then you flow into Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, you have the passion of the Christ. These are the words of the king, the crucified king from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But these are the words of Jesus from the cross. So what you see here is the king, his rejection, his passion, and then as you move toward Psalm 23, you see the resurrection of the king. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He is our shepherd, the one in which we put our hope in. He's the one who gives all that we need. He's the one who leads us to green pastures, and he is the one who restores our soul. So that in Psalm 22, you see the passion of the Christ on the cross. In Psalm 23, you see the resurrection of the Christ, the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, and then he takes it back up again. And as you flow through this, you will see in Psalm 24, the ascension of the Christ, the one who now returns to his throne. This is the King of Glory. So we want to see this divine drama being played out here in the person and work of Christ, in the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension.
So that's the context for this entire thing. So we're looking at, in essence, if we're going to break it down that way, we are looking at the ascension of Christ in Psalm 24. Is that where you'd locate it?
Yes.
All right. What is the connection of this psalm? I mentioned one as we came into this segment, but it has more. It's connection to the hymns of this season that we're closing out in the church year, Advent.
Well, one of the most famous and dear hymns that we have is the Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. I mean, we know this one. This one is directly taking these words here from Psalm 24 and just expanding upon them. What does it mean that he is the king that we are to behold, the one who is drawing near? Well, in that hymn that the church sings, "Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates," this is where we take this understanding that Christ is king. And he has not left us as orphans. It's not like he has just disappeared and we don't know where he is. But Jesus continues to be with us and to dwell in our midst, as he promises, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their presence with them." Or he says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." So this king in his kingdom is reigning now upon the throne. So in that ancient hymn that we sing there, we sing this and we say that he is the one who opens up the portal of our heart. So we take this imagery of the gates of heaven, if you will, to the gates of our heart, that this king now enters into our heart. I mean, that's kind of that theme in Advent, that Advent is a theme of repentance, a season of preparation for the coming Christ. And so you have this whole understanding of this hymn where you're saying to Christ the Redeemer, "Come and open wide my heart to thee, and Lord, abide. Oh, enter with thy grace divine, thy face of mercy on me shine, and thy Holy Spirit guide us on until our glorious goal is won." So you have the understanding of the ascension here, that Christ is high priest. And as the mediator, there's these two benefits that the believers partake in. That, of course, being number one, reconciliation with Christ, with God the Father. Sinner and God are now reconciled because of his death on the cross. And number two, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So he sends out the Holy Spirit, continues to pour out the Holy Spirit as he continues to reign in his kingdom, a spiritual kingdom that comes through the preaching of his word, where we continue to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that hymn very well. There's a more recent hymn, Stephen Starkey hymn, that of course we also sing in Advent, "Lift up your heads, you everlasting doors," where what Stephen Starkey does is he takes the same thing. He's going through Psalm 24, and he uses this whole language of who is this king of great and glorious fame. This, you know, who is this king of glory? And he also goes on to say, "Who," asking a question, "may ascend Mount Zion's holy hill to do God's will?" So that you're talking about the Christ who is the one, the only one, the holy one, whose unstained hands can meet the law's demands. So this is where Stephen Starkey takes this, and then he goes directly into the ascension as we end on a verse or stanza four, saying, "Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, now lives to reign." Well, these are the words from the book of Revelation, the apocalypse that John saw. And as we've said before, look at the book of Revelation as a sermon on the ascension, that Christ now reigns as king. He is the king of glory now. We're not waiting for some future time when he will eventually become king, but he currently is king. And so you'll see this later on in our Lutheran service book, in like hymn 810, where we take all these things and we bring them together in the song that we sing, "O God of God, O Light of Light, O Prince of Peace and King of Kings." That's how that hymn opens up. Well, you take these themes from Psalm 24, and you also combine this with the themes of the book of Revelation, that he is the one who reigns now. He is the Lamb who is upon the throne. So you say, "Worthy is the Lamb enthroned to reign." And you're talking this whole psalm here, the idea of, again, this Christ who is king now in the ascension, the one who comes and the gates are opened up for him because he reigns now. And this continues to exist in our own midst now when we hear his word and on into eternity.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're in this Advent psalm, Psalm 24, the King of Glory. We'll talk a little bit on the other side of the break about the conversion of the Gentiles. It kind of opens that way. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that includes everybody on it as well, not just those who call upon the name of the Lord or those who seek the face of the God of Jacob in terms of that psalm. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. The Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Psalm 24 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Brian, let's talk about this theme that it's almost constant in the Old Testament. We deal with it almost every time we talk about Christ in the Old Testament. That is the conversion of the Gentiles. Where is it found in this psalm?
Well, right in the first verse, this understanding that the earth belongs to Yahweh, the fullness thereof, the world, and those who dwell therein. So that we understand clearly that Yahweh is not a local deity. He's not just one of these mythological deities of the pagan cultures in that contemporary society. He's not just one of many of these different gods, but He is the true God, the only living God, the only one who has created all things. And all of this belongs to Him. So it's the earth and everything in it, all creatures, all humanity. So the Creator who has created and brought into existence all these things that did not exist is the one who comes to recreate, to restore humanity. He's the one who will come to bring his kingdom to humanity that is now in rebellion in this fallen state. Fallen humanity, of course, has been deceived by the devil and now is enslaved and oppressed in darkness. But he will come because he's the king. He's the king who will reign throughout the earth. He overthrows the devil in his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. So we understand that when he's raised from the dead, that is Christ, he is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, and that the Father has put all things under his feet and given him as head over all things to the church, which is the body and the fullness of him who fills all in all. So that, again, even the church itself is not a local entity in Jerusalem or the land of Israel, but this is the church is throughout the world as he sends out his apostles from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And this is the kingdom that spreads from sea to sea, from the four corners of the earth, if you will. This is the fullness thereof, and the world is all that belongs therein belong to God. He's the one who has purchased us with his blood. So when we talk about the ascension, we're talking about the proclamation of the gospel to all people. It's no longer just to the Jews. Salvation does come from the Jews, but he is the Savior of the nations.
So that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof isn't simply God claiming earth and its inhabitants as his possession as creator. It is talking about the extent of the salvation that Christ would bring to the earth that belongs to the Lord.
Yeah, and you see this all connected back to Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, of course, is about the king and this kingdom and how God has put the king on the throne. And that's this whole question about the inheritance. This inheritance that will be given to him, this, of course, is the people, all the people throughout the world.
Okay, then let's turn to the subject you said this psalm deals mostly with in terms of its Christological force, and that is the ascension and that question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? First of all, just a basic question, what's the hill of the Lord in the psalm?
Yeah, then the mountain of God, and you'll see this understanding of mountain is the place where God dwells. It's the place that is kind of meeting, if you will, heaven and earth. The mountain is up in the air, and so it's kind of this central location where God comes to meet his people. So it's used in this imagery that that's where God dwells. He dwells on Mount Zion or Mount Sinai. This is the place where God comes to meet his people. And of course, Mount Zion is the place where God is with us. He is Emmanuel. Isaiah will again expand on this in chapter 2 when he talks about the mountain of God being the kingdom of God will rise up higher than all the other earthly kingdoms, the other mountains of the earth. And when this happens, of course, the Gentiles will flow up this mountain to be where God is. And this takes us, again, to Psalm 2, this understanding where God says that I have set my king on Zion, my holy mountain. This is the place of God's presence, and this is that understanding of this ascension, that Christ is with us, Christ dies for us, Christ is raised for us, and then he ascends for us to the mountain, to the holy place of God, to the right hand of the Father, to be with us now here. And so in Psalm 2, again, that the Father says, the Son, ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. That this is the mountain of God, the place where he is present for the benefit of his people. That this is what God has done. The nations of the earth, they've all plotted in vain, and they tried to overthrow this kingdom by putting an end to this king. But God, of course, he sits and he laughs at this. This is silliness. The Lord holds them all in derision. So this Psalm 24 in the ascension is directly connected to Psalm 2. Where we talk about the ascension of Christ.
It says, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Is he talking there about us?
Yes, the generation of those who seek him. Now, and again, the throughout the scripture, we are invited to seek Yahweh and live. That's where we have life. Apart from Yahweh, we have death. We have sin. We have the darkness and deception of the devil. But Yahweh's invitation is always going out through the mouth of his prophets to seek Yahweh and live. And here in particular, this whole language of the generation, this has to do with the people of God. Again, Christ being the Prince of Peace, he is the everlasting Father, as Isaiah will say in chapter 9. He is the bridegroom, and the church, of course, the bride. That this is the offspring, those who are born again, who are adopted by grace to be sons of the kingdom. That we would seek his face. This is the seek the face of Jacob, literally in the Hebrew, or as we'll say in English and the Latin, the Septuagint, the face of the God of Jacob. That when we understand that face that Jacob saw, this takes us back to Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob sees the second person of the Holy Trinity. That Jacob calls that place Peniel because he has seen God face to face, and yet his life has been delivered. So the one who sees God has life, and that's the understanding, as we've talked about many times in the past, is no one has ever seen God, but what they've seen is the only begotten Son, the only begotten God. He's the one who comes and reveals himself to his people. He's the one who comes to seek us out that we may seek his face and live. And so this is the whole language of seeking that one. The one who ascends into heaven, and he's the one who comes to seek us. Now, in Isaiah, when he talks about this gospel going out to the ends of the earth, remember that he'll end in chapter 65 saying that he went to a people who didn't even seek him. That, of course, being the Gentiles, a people who didn't even call his name, but he went out to them. So he's the one who always seeks us first so that we may seek his face and live. He is the one alone who can ascend the holy mountain. He's the only one who can stand in the holy place. As Hebrews chapter 9 says, that Christ has entered not into holy places made by hands, but with the these mere copy earthly things, but instead he's ascended into heaven itself. And now he is there in the presence of the Father, before the face of the Father, so that we too might be before the face of the Father. That Christ is the one who brings us with him into the presence of the Father, that we now have access to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit.
Just before we go to this break, I think you've said this before when we've talked about it, the face of God, that this is a clear arrow pointing us to the incarnation, where looking into the face of Christ himself, we are looking into the face of God.
And as Jesus will say in John's gospel, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That when Jesus is facing towards us, the face of God is upon us. And that's that blessing of Aaron, of course, that the Lord would bless us and keep us, that his face would shine upon us. For God's face to shine upon us is that God now has grace towards us. That is favor towards us. We are now seen favorably toward God. And when you have the face of God that you are facing him with, then you have this dialogue and this holy conversation where you hear God's word and you respond in praise and thankfulness and prayer. That's that understanding of that face is this communion with God, that Christ comes to unite us, that he takes fallen humanity that has separated itself from the Creator, and once again he reconciles and brings us back together. So that the Son is the only one who faces the Father through all eternity. We're the ones who have turned our back on God, but now that the Son faces us, we too face the Father with him.
Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. We've got the big part of this psalm waiting for us when we come back from this break, the part that inspires the hymn and that final question, who is this King of Glory? A question we'll answer with Brian Ketchelmeyer right after this.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Please help us finish in the black financially for the 9th consecutive year by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. With 3 weeks left, we're $54,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues, etc., at the end of 2016.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Our series here on Issues, Etc. is Christ in the Old Testament, looking at Psalm 24. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Folks, you can help us finish our 9th consecutive year in the black financially by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. Any size donation is deeply appreciated. You can contribute online at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to Issues, Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. in mind at the end of the year. Brian, the next thing that we need to talk about is really what this psalm is probably best known for. I guess it would be, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And then we go immediately to this repeated refrain here, lift up your heads, O gates, who is the King of Glory? It's repeated, if I'm not mistaken, at least twice there, and then finally given an answer.
Yeah, and so this whole thing, of course, is question and answer, and it's not a question that we don't know the answer to. It's a question for us to meditate upon. When you say, who shall ascend the mountain of Yahweh? Well, the answer is given. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, the one who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Well, the answer, of course, is Christ, because Christ alone is pure in heart. He alone is the one who knew no sin and no deceit was in his mouth. And so Jesus himself will even say, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. So Jesus, of course, gives to us the answer to these questions. So you talk about the gates being opened up. Lift up your heads, O mighty gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. Why? So that the King of Glory may come in. Well, this is directly connected to Psalm 118, a very important psalm. In that psalm, we have this petition and this prayer saying, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter in through them and give thanks to Yahweh. This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. Now, in Psalm 118, understand that connection, this petition to open up the gates of righteousness, and then directly after that, you have that word that we are so familiar with. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And this is Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That he's the stone that was rejected, as we talked about in Psalm 22. But he's the one who's resurrected, Psalm 23. And of course, now, to him, the gates of righteousness are open that he may enter in. And because he first enters in, we then can enter in him. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. Their sins are not counted against them. They are removed. He's the stone that the builders have rejected, but he has been resurrected, and now he has been established as this foundation. He's the one upon which the kingdom is built. Or you'll see that same language in Isaiah 26, that in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Well, what's the song Isaiah is talking about? Always in that day, going to the future, talking about the promise of the Messiah? Well, it is this. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks and open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. So this language of gates opening, the language of a city, this is the language of attack, this is the language of refuge, that we run into these gates, just like in Psalm 2, the one who takes refuge in him, the Son, is the one who will be saved. Blessed is that one. And so these gates are open up for Christ. He opens the gates, and then he enters in so that we too may follow him. So this is where you have the whole psalm, that kind of this refrain that goes back and forth, lift up your heads, O gates. Why? So that the King of Glory may come in. And then the question, well, who is this King of Glory? Well, it's obvious. The answer is Yahweh, the one who is strong and mighty, Yahweh mighty in battle. Now, you see this picture and this image, of course, when you have a city and you have a gate, you have a fortress, we're talking about a battle. We're talking about a fight. We're talking about a war. And in particular, it's a spiritual war. It is the battle that he has won against sin, death, and the devil. He's the one who has conquered on the cross. So he's the one who has conquered for us. And he is the victor, and now he enters into the city, and we go into the city too, and we take refuge. And this is all very similar to the same kind of questions that are put forth, like, for instance, in the book of Isaiah. You'll see this in chapter 63, where the question is, Isaiah sees someone, and he says, who is this who comes from Edom and crimson garments from Bozrah? He who is splendid in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength? Who is this? That's the question. Well, the answer, it is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. This is Yahweh himself, the King of Glory. This is none other than the Christ. So in Isaiah 63, you kind of have this question and answer again. Well, why is it that your apparel is red and your garments like the one who is treading the winepress? The answer, I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. I trod them in my anger, and I trampled all of them in my wrath. Their lifeblood splattered on my garments and stained all my apparel. So you have this picture, this question, who is this King of Glory? He looks different. And you have this in the ascension, that he's bloodied. Here now you have blood, too, all over his garments. And this is going to be the same picture and image that you will see in the book of Revelation. Again, as Revelation is a sermon on the ascension and the completion of the kingdom when it is made fully manifest on the last day. So in Revelation chapter 19, in a very similar picture, this King of Glory that we're asking the question, who is this? Well, we say he is the one who is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is none other than the Word of God. This is Yahweh himself, the one who is strong and mighty in battle, the one who is our salvation.
It's appropriate, though, this psalm to fall here at the end of Advent and right on the cusp of the church's celebration of Christ's birth, because it also can point us to Christ entering our humanity through the womb of the Virgin Mary. We've got about a minute or so if you talk about that.
So in the incarnation, we understand that Christ himself has assumed the human nature. And when he assumes the human nature, he then assumes our weakness. Yet, of course, he had no sin, but he assumes voluntarily our weakness so that he can suffer and he can die in our stead. of course, Jesus is the only righteous one, the only one who is truly pure in heart, but yet he is put to death as a sinner. And so when you have the Christ child being born in the womb of Mary, this child is born so that he may die. And through the shedding of his blood, we may be partakers of his kingdom, that he will open the gates for us, and then we too will enter in. In fact, at the end of the book of Revelation, this is where John will note, as we are in the season of Advent, that we are waiting. And Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and blessed are those who wash their robes." Well, we're white in the blood of the Lamb. And then we have the right to eat from the tree of life, and we may enter the city by the gates. Notice that at the book of Revelation, again, we're talking about this city of God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven to earth, so that he's the one who is from heaven, and he comes to earth. No one can ascend to heaven except he who descended from heaven. And because he descended and ascended it once more, we go with him forever, eternally, in his kingdom.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and he hosts a radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you so much.
Great to be here, Todd.
The Issues Etc., Book of the Month speaking of Christmas and the church's eminent celebration of it, is a Christmas book for children's ages 5 through 9. It's also one of those classic arch books from Concordia Publishing House. You know what they are, the books that you were raised on your mother or your grandmother's knee. They're simple, they're easy to understand, and they're centered on the message of Christ in his saving work. The same is true of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month, The Christmas Connection, that tells the Christmas story and the story of the resurrection. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk faith-based movies, the prophet Daniel and the young men, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.